Position yourself for divine restoration. Tell yourself, I am positioned for what God has in mind for me. I am divinely positioned. And I shall not be removed from my position. For Abraham to enjoy the restoration of all the years he had been waiting on God, he had to be divinely positioned where God could meet him. For Esther to save the Jewish people in the province where she was at that time, she had to be positioned in the palace. Before Peter and the other disciples could bring in a heavy harvest of fish up without nothing, there is a way they had to cast their nets. They had to cast it to the right for them to bring in a big fish. Praise the Lord. Before the woman with the issue of blood could touch Jesus Christ and receive a permanent healing, she had to be positioned. There is a way you need to position yourself spiritually. There is a way you need to position yourself by faith to actually receive the Lord. Sometimes our relationship with God is like, how do I put it now? It's like a football game, a soccer game. Amen? Somebody, Brazuki, is interested now. Praise the Lord. You play as 11, right? Eh? 10 and 1, right? 10 players and 1 goalkeeper. Praise the Lord. There is one that actually dribbles the ball, while other ones are positioned where you could pass to them. Praise the Lord. All that you see on soccer field is positioning. This person has the ball and is dribbling and is dribbling. And as he's dribbling, he knows that he cannot take it to the goal all by himself. So he's looking for people or other players that are positioned where he could pass to them, so that they could take it, dribble a little, and pass to another person, and their aim is towards the goal. So when you are where God is going to pass the ball to you, so that you can make a shot at the goal, everything works. But when you are meant to be here, but you are there, it's like, okay, the person that I should pass the ball to, where is he, where is he? And then the opponents come, and they take it from you, and they pass it to one another. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. I'm going to come back to this scripture. Proverbs, let's go to Exodus chapter 3 because of our time. Exodus 3:19. But I am sure, this is God talking to Moses, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. Praise the Lord. 3 reasons why you need to believe in divine restoration. Number 1, God is known for his principles of restoration. And when we talk about restoration, come like 100%. If one thing was taken away from you, when God wants to restore, he does not restore one. Praise the Lord. There are several measures of God's restoration. Just like we read in Exodus 22, that if somebody steals an oxen, he shall restore back 5. If you steal a sheep, you will restore back 4. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore 7-fold. So there is sevenfold restoration, and there is 120-fold restoration. Let's go to Leviticus 6. Let's quickly read from verse 1 to 5, New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, suppose one of you sins against your associate and is unfaithful to the Lord. Suppose you cheat in a deal involving a security deposit, or you steal or commit fraud, or you find lost property and lie about it, or you lie while swearing to tell the truth, or you commit any other such sin. If you have sinned in any of these ways, you must give back whatever you stole, or the money you took from by extortion, or security deposit, or the lost property you found, or anything obtained by swearing falsely. You must make restitution by paying the full price, plus an additional 20% to the person you have harmed. On the same day, you must present a guilt offering. I pray that everything that has been stolen from you will be restored with additional 20% in the name of Jesus. And if you desire sevenfold return, so shall it be. God is known for his principle of restoration. Number two, it is part of his promises to his children. Restoration is God's path, is God's promise to you. So let's quickly look at Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to 26. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore. God is the restorer. God is the only one that can restore what has been destroyed. I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Verse 26. You shall eat in plenty. Somebody say amen. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. People can eat in plenty and not be satisfied. But God is saying, you will not just eat in plenty, you will be satisfied. And this passage is telling us one major thing, that God is not asking you to praise him for nothing. His principle is, I will do something for you, and what I desire from you is praise. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. After that, praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Are you God's people? You will not be put to shame. Number three, there are things in life you cannot achieve except God has restored you. Except God has brought restoration into your life. Let's quickly look at Ruth. I believe that in the plan of God, even though she was a Moabite woman, she belonged to the generation that was cursed by God. But God saw her heart. And God, in his predeterminate counsel, had already positioned her to be part of the lineage through which the Savior of the entire world will come into the world. But she was married, amen, to her husband, who was an Israelite, because Naomi and her husband went out seeking bread, and at the end of the day, every man that followed her, the two sons and her husband died. And she said to the two daughter-in-laws, you know what, you go, God has tricked me, nothing is working for me, I'm going back home empty. And Ruth said, you know, where you go, I'll go, where you lie, I will lie. Your God is going to be my God, and we're going to be buried. Please go. You are young, and even if I should get pregnant now, will you wait for that child to grow up and then marry him? He said, no, you know what? You are my mother-in-law. I'm committed to you. And she came. Let's look at chapter 4, verse number 13, the end of the story. So Boaz took Ruth. Boaz was a rich man. a God-fearing man. And this is one of my single lady that desires to be married. God will give you your own Boaz. A man that is prosperous. A man that is God-fearing. A man that is single and not attached to several women. In the name of Jesus. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, meanwhile, she was married for several years. No pregnancy. And the right man came and went into her. The Lord gave her conception. It is the Lord who gives. And she bore a son. Verse number 14. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel." Verse 15. "And may it be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." A restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. "For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." For Ruth to fulfill the divine agenda of God, there must be restoration. There must be restoration. Every restoration you need to fulfill God's agenda for your life will manifest in the name of Jesus. Let's quickly look at a few ways you can position yourself. Number one, believe the word of God and believe his prophet. When a word of knowledge or a prophecy comes out and you disbelieve it, you immediately negate it in your life. You immediately cancel it. Mary said to Angel Gabriel, "How can these things be?" She didn't say, "It can never be." But how is this going to be? And Angel Gabriel told her, "The power of the highest will come upon you, overshadow you, and that which you are going to conceive is going to be called a holy one. This is his name. This is what is going to happen." And she said to the angel, "Let it be according to the word, to thy hand. Let there be performance of what you have spoken." So you must believe the word of God. You must believe his prophet. But you must know the prophet you want to believe before believing him. Because there are fake ones all over the place. Praise the Lord. So many of them. I mean, one of the things I do is to listen to other men of God. Because what God has done is to specially bless people in different ways so that what you don't have, other people have it. So you go to them, you borrow vessel. You go to them, you listen to the word of faith. The same John chapter 3 verse 16 that you have preached over the years, when you hear another pastor preach it, you're like, "Wow, I never saw it that way." You borrow from them. So I listen to a lot of them. So at a point, I said to begin to listen to American prophets. Because all these Nigerian prophets and Ghanaian prophets, South African prophets, they are just, most of them are just prophet liars. Just collect your money and go their way. So I started listening to them. Sometimes I could watch 2 hours, 3 hours. I was getting attracted. And then one night, God said, "Abraham, you are wasting your time. They are fake." So I bind that spirit. Then I watched another one, and it was as if I was looking at him nakedly. That this one is not hearing anything at all from God. I said, "God, oh, but these people, they say this, they say that." God said, "Just watch." And very soon they began to give prophecy about. I said, "God." God said to me, "If what I showed you is not true, then don't believe me and don't believe yourself ever again. If these people's prophecies come through, then pack your things from the church. You don't have any place there again." So when a few people call me, "Pastor, I know what God has shown me. I know what I saw." And for the first time I've been in this country for 20 years, I've never been so disgusted about these manipulations. God told me, even on the day of election, they still have some of them. Are you still saying God told you? You see, when God tells you something, it now depends on the system to allow it. It now depends on the what system. If God said you are getting out of Egypt, no Pharaoh can stop you. No satanic system can stop you. If God said, like you are Joseph, you are getting to the throne, no system can disqualify you. It's like Moses, he was a murderer. When he went back to Egypt, no system asked him, you killed somebody before you fled. No system. All liars. All because of money. Money that you are not taking anywhere. And some of these people, they are already millionaires. They have private jets. They have wealth. They have everything. What else are they looking for? Praise the Lord. A man of God came out recently and he said he got to a point that he needed to tell himself, which one do you want to choose? Faith or financial gains? It will shock you how much these people rakes in. I have the video. This single man says he rakes in $100 million by giving fake prophecies. $100 million in 1 year, not just for the whole time. Just one person, $100 million. For them to demonize their own, for them to manipulate the people. Oh, this one is for abortion. Since they've been talking about abortion, during George Bush, abortion, abortion, abortion. Did abortion end? Abortion is personal. Praise the Lord. Whether a government says, don't do abortion or don't do whatever, anybody that wants to do abortion will still do abortion. Hey, it's for this, it's for that. What about all the atrocities that you guys are talking about abortion? You are claiming to love unborn children that you will never see in your life. And meanwhile, some of your evangelical, what do you call it, members are being shot and killed by police, and you are mute. You claim to love lives. You claim to be concerned about life. But they just killed your choir member, an evangelical choir member, and nobody stood up for him. And when election comes, they're going to have a blah, blah, blah. I mean, so much hypocrisy. Praise the Lord. And useless and stupid ignoramus in Nigeria, calling placard. Don't send money to them. If you see any of them carrying placards, let the stomach infrastructure you've been supplying stop. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 20:20. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing. Go back. Okay. Go to verse 21. So they wrote early. Okay. Go to 22. Now. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Is that 2 Chronicles 20:20? Okay. Is that verse 20 now? What verse did we have before? Verse 20. And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. These two must be combined. You must believe what God said. You must believe the person that is saying it.
But you have to know that that person is not a liar. He's not projecting his personal interest. Number two, never allow what you desire of the Lord to become an idol in your heart. Don't allow anything you desire from God. Oh, I desire to be married. I desire to have a child. I desire to have this. I desire to be wealthy. And then, before you know what is happening, it has become an idol. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Anything you exalt above the love for God, your love for God, is an idol. Praise the Lord. Some people idolize money. That's why they don't spend it. I mean, I know people that are blessed financially, but for them to spend the day, I had somebody say, "Hey, Pastor, $15 to $20 for a plate of food in a restaurant." I'll put Gary on the fire. No. $20 is too much for you to sit down and allow somebody to serve you. Praise the Lord. Nothing should be too much for you to reward yourself with. Praise the Lord. Eat well when you celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Take yourself out if nobody is taking you out. Praise the Lord. Buy something that makes you happy. It is part of the commandments of God. The Bible says, that was in Deuteronomy. The Bible says, when you get to the land where I'm taking you to, you will exchange your goods for money. And then whatever your heart lusteth after, whatever you desire, spend it. Whether it is wine, whether it's jewelry, buy it. God said it is in the Bible. Enjoy your life. Number three, repent of any known sins and forsake them. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Joel chapter 2, 13. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Surrend your heart and your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. That you know you are doing that you shouldn't be doing as a child of God. Repent of it, forsake it, so that what God has promised will not pass you by. Number four, get rid of unforgiveness in your heart. Job chapter 42, verse 10. For Job to enjoy restoration, he must forgive. And the Lord restored Job's losses. And the Lord restored what? Job's losses. He prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You see what I'm saying? When God restores, he doesn't give you back exactly what you lost. He gives you back with additional benefits. Praise the Lord. If you really want to know the friends of Job, you need to read the entire book of Job. He got to a time, Job was in the dust and using potsherd to scrape his voice and everything. The Bible says when his friends came and they saw him afar off, they didn't recognize him. And when they came and they saw that it was their friend who had been brought down from grace to grass, the most affluent guy, the most excellent person in the entire land of the richest man, the wealthiest man, the man that the Bible says when he passes through the streets, because of his glory, because of the splendor of his worth, every other person will hide away because they cannot compare to him. And when Job opens his mouth to talk. Other people will keep quiet because they could not match his wisdom. And now he's pretending to love him. And when they got there, they sat down with him for 3 days, not talking, not moving. But when they opened their mouth and began to chastise him, they said, God is not wicked, though. God will not just allow you to suffer if you didn't do anything evil. There must have been something wicked, something terrible you have been doing. God is blah, blah, blah. Put away wickedness from your tabernacle. And at a point in time, he said to them, miserable comforters are ye. He said, instead of you to alleviate my pain, you have come to add insult to injury. And they were just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But for Job to finally enjoy, he had to pray. Can you pray for the person that broke your heart? Can you pray for the person that spread unfounded rumors all over the place about you? Told all kinds of lies. Can you pray for the person that has hurt you so much that if you have your way, you have AK-47, you won't spare him? Can you pray for them? Forgiveness is a requirement before restoration. Number four. Number five. Seize every available opportunity to praise God for your expectations. Thank God for what you're expecting from him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim. You may do what? Proclaim. This is not a conditional proclamation. Whether you receive what God has promised or you don't receive, you are to proclaim. Because God has already chosen you as his own special people, you are to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his, verse 10, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. For just obtaining mercy of God, praise him every opportunity. Number six, continue to give God your best service. Give him your best service while waiting for your turn. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Anything you're doing for God, do it with all of your heart. If you are sweeping, sweep it as if you are actually sweeping God's throne room. If you are singing, sing to him heartily. Whatever it is you are doing, do it with all your heart. Number seven, cast out every thought of abandonment. It gets to a point where you wait on God and wait and wait. You pray and pray. You trust and trust. You sow seed. You sow your service, you sow your time, you sow everything, but God has abandoned you. Because you are not hearing anything. No prophecy from the mouth of God is coming addressing your situation. Go and ask Elizabeth and Zechariah, who for over 50 years did not hear anything from God. They were dedicating other people's babies. And babies they dedicated at their lifetime. And they are still serving God with all of their heart, but nothing is happening. They felt abandoned. But God will never abandon his people. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. Let's pick it from verse number 13. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing. O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Go on. Can a woman forget a nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Verse number 16. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your words are continually before me. Your words are continually before me. Psalm number 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now I am still young. Yet, I have not seen the Lord forsake the righteous, nor his descendants begging bread. God will never forsake. God will never abandon. It is not possible. God is working on you. And finally for today, restore back anything in your possession that belongs to other people. While you are waiting on God to give you what has been taken away from you, if you have anything in your possession that belongs to other people, if you took a loan from your friends and give it to them, praise the Lord. I mean, there are people, there are relationships that over the time is a relationship of bribery. Can you loan me $1,000? So, oh, sure, Brother Abraham, why not? And then you give me $1,000. And then I had told you that I will give you after 2 weeks. And after 3 weeks, you came and said, Brother Abraham, you are more than that now. $1K. Why will be asking you for $1K? Ah, be careful. Ah, you're my friend now. Praise the Lord. And then at another time, Brother Idris, I need $2K. Brother Abraham, this $2K. Are you going to pay back? Don't even ask me that question. Give me. I need the money now. And then you gave me. And we've been doing that for like a couple of years or 3 years. Then it gets to a point whereby when I bribe Dries, loan me this, you now take it as dash me, give me. It is not a loan. Praise the Lord. But if you don't have such a relationship with the person from whom you have taken something, return it back to them. If you have in your possession money, clothing, or whatever that somebody has given to you, and their heart is not blessing you, you are retaining it. It becomes a curse. Let's look at Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 19, verse 5 to 9. Then we'll wrap up. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, this talking about Zacchaeus, and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, he knew his name, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner, because he was a Republican. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, I'm sorry, it's not a Republican, a publican, a tax collector. That's what I meant to say, a publican. So, sorry, brother. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore fourfold. You see, that restoration does not come exactly the way it went out. Restoration comes blessings. Praise the Lord. There comes a time you want to check yourself. Did I take anything? Did I borrow anything from anybody that I didn't return back? I'm going to share a testimony with you much later on about our building project. Something that God told me I had to restore. And it was shortly after the restoration that things begin to move in God's. Praise the Lord. I pray that God in his mercy, by himself and according to his wisdom and knowledge and understanding, understanding will teach us what to do to position ourselves for what He has in mind for us. Let's rise up on our feet. Thank you.